WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Pro Wrestling Sports Entertainment.
You on drugs?
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Everything that guy just says bullshit.
Bringing you the news and everything else in the world of professional wrestling.
You will not use that kind of language in my court. You understand me?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
I'm wearing cloaks.
The Omega.
I apologize, sir, but this is how I dress.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
That's one hell of an ego you've got.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler, Keishi Matsunaga.
Living formal, aren't we?
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
It's me. It's that D-O-double-G Marvin once again with Wild Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Fox with D-Generation X.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Let's get this cleared up right now.
And the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
You were serious about that?
WTR, Sunday night.
Sit down and stay there until you're told to leave.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It's WrestleMania season. Everyone's excited, I presume.
I'm dreading it all.
Are you ready for 157 consecutive hours of wrestling?
No, because I have one, two, three. I have a lot of content to produce. So, no. No.
Oh, come on.
No.
Deck the halls with wrestling mats. Fa la 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 la.
Jeez. All right, so we've got some... We got plenty of things to talk about, most of which are not WrestleMania related. Let's actually talk some just wrestling. How about that? So, kicking it off, I am the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the network. Joining me tonight, hello, Sir Rockin.
I'm here. I'm here. I'm feeling better, so I'm here.
That's good to hear.
I have a voice. Kind of.
Yeah.
We're making it through. That's all that matters.
All right. That's the important part.
Yeah.
Also with us, hello, Keishi Matsunaga.
Hello. Rock, you sound rock-like. I don't...
If
I didn't know that you were sick, I wouldn't have known you were sick.
I'm not coughing. I've been coughing a lot lately.
Ah.
So we're good. We're stable at the moment. My voice is going to die in 2 weeks, but hey, we're good today.
For now, we're okay. All right, the big question. The one and only Tim Stein, are you okay?
That depends on who you talk to. Apparently.
Well, it depends on, you know, your definition of okay.
What is okay?
And it's, last I checked, it's somewhere around moderately neato.
Moderately neato? Oh my god. That just feels like so 1950s, which, believe it or not, I was not there. Despite rumor and innuendo and Rock choking for other reasons than he's got a cold or whatever.
Are you sure you... Anyway.
You behave. I missed the 50s by a good decade at least. And a half. So.
1950s, right?
Well, I'm assuming that's what we were talking about, yes.
Just making sure.
The only thing I know about the 50s was what I saw on Happy Days.
back when you could fix a jukebox by beating on it.
Only if you wore a leather jacket and said, "Hey," then you could fix it.
I mean, but there were a lot of things you could fix back then just by hitting it.
There you go. Well, you know, you can still hit things today, but it just makes it more broken.
They're not as sturdy.
It just makes it more broken, man. Anyway, yeah, officially, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio, WTR Sunday Night Live, WildTalkRadio.com. Also streaming twitch.tv/WTR Live, wherever you are. Thanks for joining us on the World Wide Web. Nice to have you. Bit of a light night. You know, we're going to take it easy. We're gonna do a couple of quick hits and talk about something that a WWE person said. And of course, we'll do the all-time greatest.
That is sort of the idea tonight. Yeah.
That's the agenda for this evening.
Because next week you're previewing about 30 matches.
Is that all?
It's going to feel like it.
It'll feel like 330 for you by then.
Because there's two nights of WrestleMania.
So everyone, not one.
But two.
But two. So nice. They held it twice in one weekend.
Yep. All right. Let's get the quick hits. Which is cool.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits. That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel answers rapid fire questions. Step up to the plate for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Since this was pitched by Tim, let's ask him first. Tim, what was your defining moment that started the Attitude Era?
Well, a lot of people will point out to the Montreal Screwjob, but that was actually the birth of Mr. McMahon. The Attitude Era kicked off quite a bit before that.
Did it?
I think so. Stone Cold Steve Austin had already given his promo. Austin 316 says, "I just whipped your ass," or "kicked your ass," or whatever. But that didn't really solidify Austin. It started Austin. The solidification of Steve Austin, in my opinion, is what basically really kickstarted the Attitude Era. And I refer specifically to the best match on the card. Was it WrestleMania 13 that Brett turned heel in the States and they turned Austin face in one match?
Mm-hmm.
Which is a match that's still being talked about. Watching that Steve Austin show on WWE Network. What does he call that now?
The Broken Skull Sessions.
No, the other one.
Straight Up Steve Austin?
That's it. Straight Up Steve Austin. Thank you very much, Mr. Casey Matsunaga.
So that's on USA.
Yeah. Oh, that's on the USA Network. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't know. I thought it was on the WWE
Network. No.
Oh, well, it's all good. All good. Anyway, he's sitting down having a chat with Bret Hart. I don't know when this took place. I would assume it was very, very recently.
Wait. What are you talking about?
Huh?
Are you talking about his podcast?
You know, the sit down where they do the interview on TV.
Yeah, that's the Broken Skull Sessions.
Oh, that was the Broken Skull Sessions. My bad. So it was WWE.
That's on the network, yeah. The other one's on USA Network, where he also interviews people, but they're celebrities.
Okay, all right, I got it now. And so it was the Broken Skull Sessions on WWE Network. And like I said, I don't know when he sat down with Brett.
Within the last year.
Yeah, but it was a really entertaining episode. If you've never seen the Broken Skull Session, you got to watch it. That's some straight up enjoyment, especially when he gets one of his contemporaries sitting across from him. The stories that he goes through with his guest, just absolutely amazing, and the reminiscence that he had with Bret Hart. It was just a lot of fun. It was really entertaining. And they were talking about that match that basically made Steve Austin. It was Bret Hart made Steve Austin. And, you know, that's not a Canadian's words. That actually came from Stone Cold himself. It was really interesting and entertaining. And they broke down that match. And it was, you know the story behind it and everything else like that. If you're as deeply into wrestling as we all seem to be. But just hearing the two of them break it down and go through the entire thing from beginning to end and expanding into the concept of it and whose idea was what and what Vince said, let's do this, that, and the other thing. To me, that is what kicked off the Attitude Era. Austin's basic FU, losing the match, passing out in the sharpshooter, not tapping. It was a submission match, which was kind of funny because Austin was never known as a submission wrestler. So, and of course, Brett was a master of several different types of submissions. But despite the fact Austin lost that match, Brett got him over big time, huge.
Mm-hmm.
And just the Crimson Mask, it was apparently Brett's idea that Austin needed to blade in that match, despite the fact there was a rule, no blading, no bleeding. So, but yeah, for me, that's pretty much what kickstarted the Attitude Era.
All right, Casey, what was your defining moment that started the Attitude Era?
I mean, defining, like, Tim's not wrong where he says, like, that, like, Stone Cold Steve Austin and his rise was definitely where it started. But I think, personally, like, the most defining moment would probably be the first time he gave Vince McMahon a Stone Cold Stunner. Because that was, like, you know, that's like they say, you know, it's the first time an employee got to, like, stick it to his boss. And, you know, that speaks volumes to millions of blue collar workers all over the world who are frustrated with not necessarily their jobs, but sometimes the people in charge. And so I think, Steve Austin being in the position that he was and being like the guy who like stuck it to his boss spoke to so many people. So that's my defining moment of the Attitude Era.
What about you, Omega?
Oh, I hate this. I hate this.
Oh, you got 17 to choose from and you can't figure out which one.
No. I know which one. No. I just hate what this means.
Oh.
This means, Tim, I have to agree with you. See, the double turn is not just, it's a good match. It's what solidifies Austin. Brett makes Austin. Okay. What the double turn signifies is a complete change in direction for the company. That what Bret Hart represented is on its way out. What Stone Cold represented was on its way in. It represents an entire paradigm shift, not only in the product WWE is presenting, because it was a lot bloodier than anything WWE had done to that point. You know, and it was, you know, it's a gruesome finish. You know, it's a very intense finish WWE hadn't done previously. But the idea of, you know, the anti-hero is good and the upstanding, you know, Boy Scout type is bad. And just how that changes the face of all of WWE's presentation to that point. You know, it became the Austin show. You start seeing the more risque segments and characters coming through. You started seeing a slant toward adult entertainment rather than being, you know, basically a comic book come to life. You know, it was not just like one moment in the match. It's where the entire audience decided this is what we want, and WWE leaned into it to make the Attitude Era happen.
Okay, let's stick with Bret Hart. Is Bret Hart underrated, Casey?
In what way?
I'm just asking, is he underrated? Because TJ Wilson thinks he is.
I mean, there are definitely arguments and certain aspects where you could definitely say Bret Hart is underrated. I agree with TJ Wilson in many aspects. That, like, as a wrestler, like, he could have a match with anybody. And not just have a match with anybody, like, a safe match with anybody. He's got on record multiple times saying that, you know, he's never hurt a single opponent in his entire career, which is, I mean, in the world of wrestling, that is pretty, pretty amazing. Especially, you know, at the caliber of wrestler that he was. And I mean, I thought he, you know, there are a lot of people who say that, as a person on the mic, he was not as great. But I mean, if you look at his, like, his heel days with the Hart Foundation and like getting people to hate him. And I mean, I think people don't give him enough credit in that aspect, because the amount of people who hated Bret Hart for basically going in there and just being like, this is supposed to be wrestling, not, you know, basically he was
crapping all over the Attitude Era, which was his character, and the fact that people hated him for it was like, I thought he did a good job as the person who was like trying to hold on to what wrestling was in the past. Now, I mean, his promos and his character weren't like The Rock or Stone Cold, and they weren't like the most entertaining, but he also wasn't trying to be the most entertaining. He was trying to be that guy who was trying to hold on to what wrestling was to him, and he let people hate him for it. So, I mean, I would say he's underrated in certain aspects, but he also gets a lot of credit. So I wouldn't say he's as underrated as a lot of people, but there are definitely portions of what he did that were underrated for sure.
Mega, is Bret Hart underrated?
I mean, Casey's right. In certain aspects, he is. And part of that is just because of the nature of his career and how things turned out, where, yeah, Goldberg's an idiot. So we didn't get to see Bret as long as we could have. Also, WCW were idiots who had one of the best wrestlers in the world and didn't know what the fuck to do with him.
Thank you for bringing up and making that point.
Yes.
So, like, that really hampers just his legacy, is that he spent too long in WCW doing absolutely nothing, and then when they did do something with him, it ended his career. So we missed out on what Bret could have been to the business had he, you know, not been unceremoniously forced into retirement. I mean, that said, like, Bret is always, you know, highly acclaimed. He's one of the best technical wrestlers ever. He's one, you know, and, you know, TJ Wilson was talking, like, this came about talking about the Tom McGee match. And, like, you take someone who is green as hell and you make them look like the next Hulk Hogan. Yeah, you're going to be underrated, because that's something that a lot of people don't talk about, is your ability to make somebody else look good. You know, the Brooklyn Brawler is, you know, career jobbers made that their thing. You know, like, Barry Horowitz made a career out of making other people look good, because sometimes that's just what you're good at. Bret just happened to be good at both sides of the coin. So, like, that gets undersold a lot. You know, Bret, you know, everyone working Bret looked better. So Bret's matches in general always looked better than you would expect. So it's two-sided. It's, yes, he's given credit a lot because of how good he was, because of his legacy, you know, and he's well remembered because he could play a good hero, he could play a good heel, you know, he was always good in what roles he was given. But it's just unfortunate we didn't get to see enough of what he could do, and some of the stuff he was best at is stuff you don't really think about. So in some ways, yeah, TJ's right.
Tim?
Yes.
Answer the question, is Bret Hart underrated?
Not in Western Canada. However,
I mean, in Western Canada, like, you have scriptures that recite, you know, the Father, the Son, and the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
Casey, I don't go to church. Is that true?
I mean, I can neither confirm nor deny that.
But one thing that Casey will agree with me, if you come into Calgary, Alberta, Canada, from anywhere else in the world, and insult Bret Hart, you're getting the SERP shooter slapped on you. And I'm talking about the bars downtown. overall, Bret was underrated, still is. And I'm pointing out to what you said, Omega. He made everything effortless. He is one of the best technical wrestlers that ever graced us with his presence in the ring. He could make anybody look good. He was able to put other people over and get their careers going, or at least make them look good for that one match. But because of everything that happened, WCW, Goldberg, the feud with Shawn Michaels, and to a lesser extent, Triple H. As far as I know, there's still not a lot of love lost between the two there. But down the years, people siding with the stories coming out of Triple H or Shawn Michaels' mouth before he settled down and basically apologized for a lot of the shit that he said throughout the years. People siding with Shawn because he was more charismatic, more effervescent, if you will. And Bret being put into an indefensible position of having to defend himself and people not buying the reasons or listening to the reasons Brett had for what Brett did wound up putting a cloud over his legacy for the longest time. Even today, you can take a match from Stampede Wrestling from the mid-80s and put it on the TV or broadcast and put it on the internet, whatever you want, wherever you want to air it. Have people watch that and be absolutely amazed. People, you know, today's fans be absolutely amazed at the work rate that not just Brett put in, but that Brett got out of his opponents. Now, you know, being a smartass, I said Brett's not underrated in Western Canada. As much of a smartass comment as that was, it's essentially true. But his overall legacy, the career, his matches, his ability wound up having to take a back seat after leaving WWE. Because of everything else that happened, whether fairly or unfairly, and 90% of it was very unfair. But because of that, Brett is underrated. I dare you, the three of you, to point out a match Brett was involved in that could not be considered a classic.
I mean, there's probably dozens and dozens that weren't classics, Tim.
You know what I mean. Don't be an asshole, asshole. That'll be your legacy.
Bret Hart versus Vince McMahon.
That didn't really ever happen, unfortunately.
It did, though.
It did, but not really.
It did, though.
But not really.
It was on
It's in the record books.
It happened at WrestleMania. I mean, just pointing that out. Anyway.
Let me tell you about his run with the United States Championship in WWE.
Yeah, there you go. The one that I predicted, and everybody thought I was absolutely stark raving nuts for saying Brett's going to be given a run with the U.S. title.
And you know what's sad is it was better than his WCW U.S. title, right? Anyway, speaking of...
Yeah, what? You're right! So here it is. Brett versus Vince at WrestleMania. I don't count because that was Vince saying, look, we want you back. I'm willing to do this. Brett was still retired. And it was just... it was just a showcase of Brett pretending to kick the shit out of Vince.
Anyway.
With the family surrounding the ring.
20 years ago this week, WCW closed its doors.
Bye!
Omega, do you remember what your reaction was when you found out WCW was out of business?
I can remember not being shocked. I mean, even then, in my naive years of being a pro wrestling fan, like, the writing was still on the wall. The show, like, the pay-per-views were getting worse and worse. They weren't even putting effort into the names of the pay-per-views anymore. The last one was literally just named Greed. And you could see all the stars that were leaving. Like, you didn't see any of the big stars that they just vanished. You know, Hogan vanished, Nash vanished, you know, and then, you know, if they didn't vanish completely, then eventually they showed up in WWE. WWF. So it was obvious that it was not going to last that much longer. And I remember the shock of finding out that WWE was buying the company, you know, and I remember the shock of seeing Shane walk out on Nitro. That was awesome. But the actual event of, oh, WCW is not going to be around anymore. I can remember being like upset because it's unfortunate. You know, because there was a lot in WCW I still liked, but also just kind of, well, that finally happened.
Casey, what about you? Do you remember what your reaction was when you heard WCW was going out of business?
I mean, clearly you can tell which of us were, like, living in blissful ignorance and just watching wrestling for wrestling, because I didn't know any of that. yeah, I mean, I was young, and I really, like, I was never really the type of person to kind of go and check out dirt sheets and speculate and all that other stuff. So, like, the first time I really remember hearing anything about WCW going out of business was literally seeing Shane McMahon walk out on to Nitro. Anything up until that point, like, I either just, like, I wasn't paying attention or didn't really know what was going on. So, like, when I saw that, I was myself shocked. Clearly that was not something I should have been. But yeah, no, seeing that was interesting, and like I kind of like made an assumption that, oh well, I guess that just means WCW isn't going to be around anymore. I'm not going to see a lot of these guys. And like I didn't know what the future held as far as what was going to happen with a lot of the wrestlers and stuff. So, but I also didn't make a whole lot of speculation. I was just like, oh well, I guess WCW's done. All that means is I have 2 hours less wrestling to watch on a Monday night.
All right, Tim, what about you? Do you remember?
It was all anticlimactic for me. I knew that there were problems, and they were trying to dump WCW, and there were people involved in trying to buy it, and Eric Bischoff had this huge, absolutely incredible package put together to purchase WCW. And so I figured, okay, well, that'll happen. And then what are they going to do? And then Monday Night Raw and the simulcast with TBS happened.
TNT.
Or TNT, yeah. And that was a bit of a mind blower. And seeing Shane show up and tell his dad that he's the one who bought WCW. And the whole plan there was for WWE to actually run WCW as a separate show on a separate network. The entire deal got queered by the guy running Turner Broadcasting at the time, AOL Time Warner. What was the guy's name? Fuck, I can't remember.
Brad Siegel.
Anyway.
Brad Siegel.
Hey? Brad Siegel. Absolutely hated pro wrestling. Couldn't stand the fact that WCW was given so much airtime and had so much attention paid to it, and wanted it gone. And this is what actually wound up screwing the deal that Bischoff had put together. Vince literally bought WCW for a song, and after the fact found out that WCW was getting kicked off of AOL Time Warner. But at the time, we were all positive that things would continue. WCW would be, it didn't matter what channel you turned to, you're still watching a WWE product, well, WWF product back then. You were going to see guys moving back and forth between rosters on a regular basis, you know, like they're doing sort of with SmackDown, but with the similar idea to what was going on when WCW was actually being mismanaged and run into the ground by the original owners. You know, guys leaving for one promotion or another, using it as, you know, storyline threats, stuff like that, and expecting all of that. And then to find out there's absolutely no chance. That's my phone. So I got to go mute and answer this, guys. So,
okay. So as he deals with the voices in his head, I'll ask you guys this question. It's Hall of Fame season. What in your mind, Omega, defines a Hall of Famer?
Everything that is not the Great Khali. For me, what defines Hall of Famer is, I mean, what I call a Hall of Famer and what WWE calls Hall of Famers are very different things. I think what it boils down to is just being memorable, whether it is based on your quality of character, your quality of in-ring performance, your, you know, quality of your promo work, whatever made you stand out. If you were memorable, if you could think of pro wrestling and go, oh yeah, and think of and just come up with that person, that is a Hall of Famer to me. So it's one of those things where there's a lot of ways to get there, and you can be good in multiple, but as long as you've got one of those things going for you, as long as you are memorable for just being good at what you do.
Okay, Casey, what defines a Hall of Famer in your mind?
I mean, I echo a lot of sentiments that Omega's talking about, you know, standing out, being memorable. Like, to, you know, people who are Hall of Fame worthy are like people that you can mention those names to just about anybody and having them know who they are. Like, for example, you say, oh, Stone Cold Steve Austin. People who don't really pay attention, there are a lot of people who didn't even watch wrestling who know who Stone Cold Steve Austin is. Like, having that sort of reach that, you know, even if you're just like a casual casual viewer of the product, you know who they are because of, you know, what they did for the business and stuff like that. Yeah. As opposed to, you know, adding people in for publicity's sake.
What, Drew Carey isn't a Hall of Famer?
Well, I mean, I'm not necessarily speaking specifically to that Hall of Fame, but there are a lot of Hall of Fames out there that add people for reasons that are beyond what a lot of people that are passionate about specific Hall of Fames and question why certain people get into certain Hall of Fames, like the WWE or the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame or other things of that nature.
Okay. Tim, what defines a Hall of Famer?
Well, for one thing that defines is longevity, which does not just mean being able to stay unhurt for 25 years. Being able to sometimes reinvent, maybe not yourself, but the character that you've adopted, to keep yourself relevant, to being able to adapt to the different cycles.
Okay.
That's one.
Anything else?
Oh, there's a whole bunch more. Are you ready? Sit down, grab a drink, I'm doing.
You got 30 seconds, and go.
I was busy. I was busy drinking. Okay, now say and go.
And go, 30 seconds, go.
Whole bunch of stuff, like being able to put on classic matches on more than a regular basis, being really, 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 really good in the ring. Not screwing up, stuff like that. There you go.
Cool. And finally, because this is Tim's favorite question of the night, with the recent announcement of Bad Bunny wrestling at WrestleMania, what is the greatest celebrity appearance at a WrestleMania, Tim?
Why do you say this is my favorite? Because I told you I hate celebrity appearances?
There you go. Yep.
Yeah, I generally can't stand them. However, one of my favorite celebrity appearances was who's the guy? It's Green Arrow, Stephen Amell.
Stephen Amell.
Yeah, that's he it. He wasn't at WrestleMania. He was at SummerSlam.
That was SummerSlam.
That was SummerSlam.
Yes.
Something like that. As far as the celebrity appearance at WrestleMania, shit, Aretha Franklin.
Okay. Omega.
And this is where there's a lot to pick from. And, see, my favorite one is a lot more recent, and technically it's a cheat. I mean, technically. But I think it counts, because she wasn't signed at the time, and it would be Ronda Rousey jumping in to help The Rock. I mean, it's the one time where I felt like a celebrity cameo was not only well done and didn't look terrible, but it was also completely appropriate for the moment and not shoehorned in.
Okay. Casey?
Yeah, I don't know. This is kind of tough because, I mean, there are a lot of celebrities that just kind of show up and are there. I kind of leaned more towards, like, the ones who did stuff.
You can admit Snooki. It's fine.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she's not on mine. I mean, as much
she's on his wall, but not his list.
No, there. My walls are covered with action figures, Tim. I'm a man child.
There you go.
You and Omega are you just became best friends forever.
Why didn't we have him on the show sooner?
Scheduling. I didn't mind like Floyd Mayweather's appearance at WrestleMania. I thought he did a pretty decent job at his match with the Big Show. Considering what they did. I'm also going to give honorable mention to Pete Rose, just because I enjoyed the comedy stuff that he did with Kane.
Yeah, okay. Works for me. All right, those were your quick hits. Let's get to the all-time greatest.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoop-de-freaking-doo!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest. Stop us
now! Continue on in the all-time greatest females. This week we have Brandi Rhodes and Candice Michelle. Omega.
I don't like either of these two. I don't like their ring performances, and I don't like what they've done so far. I mean, Brandi, stay on the microphone in AEW, fine. I don't want to watch Brandi Rhodes matches. And Candice was in that era where you needed, like, you got pushed if you agreed to be in Playboy. Kind of felt like that's where she was because her career wasn't doing anything before that. I will go with Candace Michelle based solely on, I don't know, what I could call a legacy in the business, but it's a weak choice.
Casey?
Yeah, I'm going to go daddy with Candace Michelle. only because, like, she's done, quote unquote, more in wrestling than Brandy has yet. There's a good potential for Brandy to be better.
If her husband gives her the world women's championship that he controls.
Oh, is that how that works?
Well, it's gonna be.
But yeah, I mean, as of like right now, today, I'm gonna give it to Candace Michelle.
Tim?
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as these guys. It's Candace Michelle simply because Brandi Rose hasn't been around long enough yet. That being said, Candace really didn't have much of anything going on.
ODB, Wendi Richter, Casey.
I am not as familiar with Wendi Richter, so I'm going to give it to ODB.
No, you can't do that. You have to abstain if you're not as familiar with one of them.
All right, that's one for
me. I mean, not as familiar. Like, I mean, I watched her match at WrestleMania. I've watched more ODB matches. That's it.
All right, Tim.
Wendi Richter.
Why?
She was a bigger deal in her time. Across the spectrum than ODB.
Omega.
I feel like what hurts ODB here is the fact that she never really left Impact. I mean, ODB is entertaining as hell, but she is in a small pond and forever will be in a small pond. Where Wendi Richter does have more legacy to her. She is, she was a very accomplished, female wrestler for her era. She's just more sewn into the roots, yeah, the roots of the modern women's division. So I'll go Wendi.
All right, Toni Storm and Sunny Tim.
Here we go again. Sunny is my pick. For that era, for that time, what Sunny accomplished was exceedingly advanced. And just to be an asshole and say mean shit nowadays, she needs some accolades. That was mean. I was kidding.
Oh my God.
I'm not sure what Sunny accomplished in her day. I mean, at least with Toni Storm, I can look at a history of good matches. Like I think Toni has wrestled more Mae Young classic matches than Sunny wrestled total.
But Sunny wasn't a wrestler.
That's
Sunny
was a personality. The point.
This is the female character.
Yeah, it's not a female wrestler. It's not a wrestler list. It's a character.
I'm aware
list.
Of this. I am aware of this. This is the thing. It's like, I'm more entertained watching Toni Storm than I remember being with Sunny, just because Sunny was eye candy. She was a valet. Like, in my head, I barely acknowledged her, other than, ooh, pretty.
All right, so one for Toni Storm. Casey.
I mean, both arguments are very compelling. Sunny, as a character, did a lot with the limits that she had as a manager slash whatever, like, kind of announcer, other stuff she did. But, Toni Storm is a very good, very entertaining wrestler. I'm gonna give it to Toni because, like, she is an entertaining character and an entertaining wrestler, so she has more going for her than Sunny did. Even though Sunny did more with what she had, Toni Storm has more overall.
Okay. Ginny versus Deonna Purrazzo, Casey.
Deonna Purrazzo, because she is a very good wrestler. I enjoy the character work that she is doing for Impact. Now that she's been given an opportunity to be a character. So yeah, I'm going to go with Deonna.
Oh my God.
I didn't know who Ginny was. I had to look her up and I had to learn myself. So good thing I actually paid attention to the brackets ahead of time this week. That said, I like Deonna a lot better. She's accomplished more. I like her better in the ring. Yeah, you know, that's easy for me.
Tim.
Yeah, you might as well make it unanimous.
All right, now we got two more tonight, and these are really tough. Asuka versus the Fabulous Moolah Omega.
Fuck. I mean,
choose wisely now.
I know this is this is brutal. Because you're talking, okay, when it comes to women's wrestling, there may be no one more influential than the Fabulous Moolah. The problem is we have to look at it in modern hindsight because we know a lot of that influence came from really shitty behavior. You know, you could make just as strong an argument that she did as much damage to women's wrestling as she did, you know, to build it up. You know, but she's also the Ric Flair of the women's division. She was that veteran that could come back and hold that women's title anytime they wanted for as long as they wanted. And it was believable because it was Moolah. God, you're, but for Asuka, like I have to look beyond just what she's done in WWE because, you know, what she's done in WWE and in NXT between the two, she's been unlike any women's wrestler I could remember. Just the level of dominance, the level of performance in the ring. Barely speaks a word of English, but she can still present a character so well. I'm entertained listening to her rant in Japanese, just because I can tell the emotion is there. And I do have to look at how long she's been in, you know, in this business. You know, she's a 17-year veteran. You know, I have to look at her time as Kana in Japan, where she was also just this reaper of souls in the ring. I don't know, like knowing what we know now, it's hard for me to put Moolah on any kind of pedestal. And like I said, there's as much reason to believe she hurt the business as she did help it. So based for this argument, I will say Asuka.
Keishi.
I am also choosing Asuka for basically everything that Omega said, but also adding on, I don't think Moolah could work an empty arena the way that Asuka could.
Okay. Tim?
I'm not saying.
All right, we move on. They've already moved her on, so if you're not going to give an opinion, all right, we'll just move on. China versus Charlotte, Tim.
China.
Why?
Because of everything she did outside of the ring and stuff that she did to make herself look really, really bad. That has absolutely nothing to do with what we're talking about. Charlotte hasn't been around long enough. This is 10 years away from being a fair contest. China was in her prime, during her prime, such a wall breaker for women. Her importance to women's wrestling is unfortunately overlooked even now, even today. Whatever reasons there might be for that, legitimate or otherwise, you know, being calling her what, the ninth wonder of the world or whatever, and having her actually compete in the Royal Rumble when it was men only and stuff like that. It's her legacy. Charlotte doesn't have one yet. She's got a family name. She's got a lot of impressive matches. She's got some decent promo work, but we're a decade away easily from this being a fair comparison.
I wouldn't say that, but all right. Omega.
Charlotte is going to win more women's championships than anyone. She's going to win more belts than her dad did. She's never going to be a two-time intercontinental champion. She is never going to be a believable force no matter who she is in the ring with. She's never going to be allowed to have intergender matches. She's never going to be allowed most of the things China was allowed because she was just that unique a performer. You know, you're going to get more women down the line like Charlotte Flair, who is very gifted in the ring, who does come from a legacy of, you know, very, very exalted pro wrestlers. You know, like right now we're staring at the likes of, like, you know, The Rock's daughter wants to be a pro wrestler. So who knows how that's going to turn out. We got Dominic Mysterio over on SmackDown, who's fantastic. You know, we have those, you know, you're always going to have that, you know, men and women's side. You're never going to get another performer like China.
All right. Keishi?
Did they miss anything when they put over China? I don't think they did.
All right. Clean sweep. That's it. That's our show. Wrap it up, Tim.
This is me wrapping it up. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to WTR Sunday Night. This is Sunday Night. Next week, apparently, we've got 375,000 matches to preview for a two-night WrestleMania extravaganza that Rock can't wait to sink his teeth into.
Yeah. can't wait.
So get ready for that. But in the meantime, tomorrow immediately following Raw, it's the post show.
It is the Raw post show, Monday night, 11 p.m. Eastern.
Provided his voice holds out, Thursday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, is another episode of the multi-time award-winning The Rack with Lindsay Ward.
Our WrestleMania week, our WrestleMania coverage begins this Thursday on The Rack as we preview NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver this Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern.
Your WrestleMania leak, huh? Okay. Hey, are you feeling well enough to play Fortnite?
Not this Thursday, probably Saturday.
There you go. Speaking of Saturday, the midnight-ish.
Hold on. I have something else to talk about from The Rack.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You can check out The Rack Extra Reviews, the WWE Superstar Handbook, now available. He holds it up to the non-existent camera. Coming this week will be The Rack Extra Reviews, Dr. Disrespect, Violence, Speed, Momentum, all available at RackRadioShow.com.
You know, before letting everybody know that you held it up to the microphone, I was gonna be a smartass and say, Rock, nobody can see you holding that up.
I said to the non-existent camera.
Yeah, I know. But it's just before you even said that, I was planning on saying it. So that was weird. But yeah, Saturday night's midnight-ish, or as close as we can get to it, Eastern Time, another episode of The Wild, The Wacky, The Undead, CB Radio.
Yeah, CB Radio every Saturday night, midnight-ish, CBRadioLive.com, GrowTheGreatDebate.com.
Okay, you done laughing?
Yeah.
Don't know why you were laughing.
I was trying to figure out a way to spin it. It's like, I got nothing.
No, you got nothing. Okay, there you go. Yeah, of course, you can follow the Wild Talk Radio Network on the Twitter machines at Wild Talk Radio, Rest Talk Radio at WTR Sunday Night. That's on Twitter. Also on Facebook, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, facebook.com/groups/Wild Talk Radio Network. Facebook.com/ what's the Wrestle Talk Radio one?
WTR Sunday Night.
That's right. It's so totally different from Twitter.
It's like it's a branding thing.
It's just amazing. Speaking of branding, you can follow me on Twitter at FlamesForum. You'll get sports talk, wrestling talk, which is sports entertainment, random chaos, and other lighthearted shit. If you want to get serious, political, controversial, find out my viewpoints on things, and follow me at Voicing Sanity.
All right, before we get to Omega and Keshi, here's our WrestleMania week's coverage. The Rack is Thursday, TakeOver preview. Next week, WrestleTalk Radio previews WrestleMania. Next Thursday, on the 8th, The Rack reviews the NXT TakeOver. Next, the following Friday, we preview WrestleMania. We're doing a Friday show after SmackDown. Then the Rack will review day one. Wrestle Talk Radio will review both days on that Sunday. And the following Thursday, the Rack reviews day two. It's a lot of shows. Mega plug you. And I have the Raw post shows in there, CB Radio's in there. I have Ms. and Mrs. and another book and content. Omega, plug your socials.
So if you want to see what I am doing throughout the week, you can follow me all over the internet. If you want to follow me over on Facebook and Instagram, search for The Plastic Addict. Everywhere else on the internet, I am known as TJ Omega. That is the Twitter handle. That is the YouTube channel with over 1,000 videos worth of content. That is the website, tjomega.net, for a few exclusive videos. And of course, TJ Omega is now on Twitch, if you want to follow me there and see what I am streaming these days.
Keshi.
You can find me at Kyle Driver on Twitter. Sometimes I post about things that I see while I drive around town and do my job.
Don't post and drive.
No, I don't. If you looked, I posted about something that I saw on a drive like the next day, because that's, you know, driving a big truck and posting on Twitter doesn't seem like a smart idea. Also, you might find pictures of places that I have to lift kegs on.
lift kegs?
Yeah, I'm a keg slinger in my 9-to-5.
Really? What about the cleaver?
I don't cleave any kegs because that would be alcohol abuse.
They haven't called it the keg and cleaver since what, 1987?
Sure. Let's go with that. What's a keg and cleaver?
The keg.
Oh, well,
those used to be called the keg and cleaver.
I see. I was not aware of that because reasons.
You're young and Tim's old. This has been WTR Sunday Night Live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll see you next Sunday night for another edition of WTR Sunday Night. Say goodnight, Tim.
Just for that, you got to work twice as hard. Good night, everybody. WildTalkRadio.com.